Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us and thankful that the Lord has brought you our way. I hope this program is a blessing to you. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the last part of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The title of the message today is Doing Righteousness. And that comes from verse 29. We'll get there in just a moment. Doing Righteousness. But understand here, in this passage, the Apostle John is talking about abiding in Christ, continuing in Christ, believing the gospel, and continuing without leaving it, because there were certain ones who had claimed to be believers and then later on left it, and he says they were never saved to begin with. I urge you to get the last few messages on this passage, because I've dealt with that in a great deal. But what he says basically, just to catch you up today, is this. If you are truly a sinner saved by God's grace in Christ, truly saved, truly born again by the Spirit, you can never forsake Christ. You cannot lose it. You cannot save it. Or you cannot leave it. You cannot reject it. Now, that doesn't mean you cannot stray a little while, or you cannot get lazy or caught up in sin and things like that. You can never totally, ultimately forsake Christ and His truth and His people. And I know people that automatically say, well, that sounds like once saved, always saved. Well, it is if Christ saves you. If the one who saves you is God the Father through the Son, by the Spirit, by His grace. If He saved you, He saved you by grace. He'll keep you by grace. He'll bring you to glory. And that's not an open invitation to disregard the Word of God and to say, well, then I don't have to obey. No, that's not what that does. That sets within a believer, a sinner saved by grace, a real godly motive for obedience, which is love and grace and gratitude. That's the motives for obedience. But by nature, we're legalists. In other words, we're going to do it because we're afraid of getting thrown into hell, or we're mercenaries. We're doing it because we want to earn our rewards. We don't earn our rewards. Christ is our reward. The Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Him. So John's point up to this, he says basically that if God saved you, if Christ is truly your Savior, your sins imputed, charged to Him, and He died for your sins, His righteousness to you, and the Holy Spirit has given you life from the dead in the new birth and brought you, convinced you, and brought you to faith in Christ and repentance, you can't lose it. That's an anointing. He says that. It's an unction, an anointing, a power from God. It's not the power that you have. It's not the power of your will. You know, most people today think it is. You know, well, if I'm willing, then that's going to make it all right. No, God has to make us willing, the Scripture says. He has to give us a new heart. He has to cause us to walk in His statutes. That's what He does for His chosen people in Christ. So it's not your will or your works or your determinations. It's God's promise. And look at what he says in verse 27, 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. Now, if you claim to believe the gospel, the true gospel, and later on leave it and deny it, turn against it, then that means the Holy Spirit has not anointed you. Christ has not sent the Spirit to anoint you. Has not convinced you. I made this statement last week. how if the Holy Spirit has, in the new birth, has given me life and brought me to faith in Christ and repentance and convinced me, convicted me, it's a conviction, see, that my only hope of salvation is Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead, His blood alone for the forgiveness of my sins, His righteousness alone for my justification. If I've been convinced by the Spirit, then I cannot ignore it. I cannot leave it. I cannot ignore it. I cannot deny it, and I cannot leave it. That's it. And that's what he's saying there in verse 27. The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. Now that doesn't mean that we don't need to learn more. And it doesn't mean that men cannot teach us from the Bible. But what he's talking about is the basics of the gospel. You don't have to keep being convinced of that because you've already been convinced. And so the only reason that we preach them to you now, if you believe them, is for your comfort and encouragement and motivation. But you already know it. And he says, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him. You're going to abide in Christ. This is one thing I know about people. If you've heard the gospel, and you may hear it from a poor preacher like me or any man, if you've heard it by the power of God through Christ and by the Holy Spirit, you'll abide in it. You will stay in it. And that is what this thing of doing righteousness is all about. Look at verse 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in Him. I'm encouraging you, John says, that when He shall appear, that's His second coming, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And then he says in verse 29, if you know that He is righteous. Now, Christ is coming again. He is the righteous one. He is the just judge of all. And if you know that, if you know that He is righteous, then you know, or know you, that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, what is it to do righteousness? A lot of people look at that and they say, well, that means I've got to keep the law. Well, my friend, if that's what you think it means, I want to tell you. Here's what I want to tell you. You failed. Now, you may say, well, how can you say that, preacher? You don't know me. I know what the Bible says about you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 that by nature and by practice, based upon our best efforts to obey God, there's none righteous, no, not one. And that refers to even true believers. How many times have I said this? There's only two types of people on this earth. There's sinners lost in their sins, and there's sinners saved by grace. That's it, but still sinners. And even a believer, our best efforts to obey God, to obey His word, to be good people, still fall short of the perfection of righteousness that God requires and that can only be found in Christ. You say, well, then where's my hope of being accepted? In the beloved, Ephesians 1 tells us. My person, myself, and my works aimed at glorifying God are only acceptable to God through the blood of Christ, washed in the blood. You see that? Even my prayers, even my best prayers, are not good enough to save me. But they're presented to God, the book of Hebrews 4 and verse 14 through 16 tells us, at the throne of grace through the great high priest, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. So he says, and now little children, this is verse 28, abide in Him, Look to Christ continually. See Him for what He is. Rest in Him for all righteousness and all life and forgiveness. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Abide in Him, so that when He shall appear in glory in His second coming to judge to receive His people and to judge the world, you'll be confident. How can I be confident? You know what the standard of judgment is? Well, Acts 17:31 tells us. That's one of the many verses that tells us. But it says there in Acts 17:31 that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness, perfect righteousness now, in righteousness, by that man whom He hath ordained, by one person whom God has appointed, in that He hath raised Him from the dead, Christ. Christ. The reason I'm confident, if I die and go to meet God, or if I'm on this earth when He comes back again, I'm confident that I will be accepted with Him, that I will be fine. Why am I so confident? Because I plead His righteousness. I abide in Him. I don't plead anything. I'm not like those fellows in Matthew 7:21-23. Lord, haven't I preached in Your name? Lord, haven't I cast out demons? Lord, haven't I done many wonderful works? I've preached in His name. I've tried to be a good person, but that's not my righteousness before God. My righteousness is Christ. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 3 when he said that I may know Him and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the faithfulness of Christ, even the righteousness which is of God by faith. The righteousness of faith, looking unto Christ. And so he says, if you know, verse 29, if you know that He is righteous, and I know that's so, Christ is righteous. I'm not righteous in myself, but I am righteous in Him. It's His righteousness imputed to me. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Him, Christ, to be sin. Made Him sin. How was He made sin? Only by being my surety. God not imputing my sins to me, but He imputed them, charged them, accounted them to Christ. He's my surety. He wasn't made to be a sinner. He wasn't corrupted. He is Christ who knew no sin, it says there in that verse, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Who's the we there? All those who believe and abide in Him by the power of the Spirit through Christ. I made the righteousness of God. What does that mean? That means His righteousness is charged to my account. That's what substitution is all about. And so if you know that He's righteous, then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Now, what is it to do righteousness? Well, John's been explaining it all the way down through this passage. And he's going to continue to explain it in chapter 3. To do righteousness, it's not my keeping the law perfectly. If my keeping of the law could be labeled doing righteousness, then my law keeping would be perfect. And it is not. My obedience would have to be perfect. My love for God, my love for my neighbor, my love for my brethren would have to be perfect without any smidgen of sin. And that's not the case. But this doing righteousness is what John is talking about. Abiding in Christ. Looking to Christ. Believing in Christ. Pleading Christ. Pleading His righteousness. It's like John mentioned in John 3:21. He said, those who doeth truth. How do you do truth? You believe in it. You walk by it. And that's what we want. Somebody said, well, preacher, you need to practice what you preach. Well, I do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I look to Christ for my whole salvation. Look nowhere else. I abide in Him. That's doing righteousness. That's not me keeping the law perfectly. That's no perfection in me. I heard a preacher say, well, doing righteousness is the actions of the new nature. No, doing righteousness is believing in Christ, abiding in Christ, resting in Christ. Do you think, can you get confidence by thinking about a righteousness within yourself that the scriptures don't back you up on? No, my confidence is what God has given me in Christ. I stand before God, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in His righteousness. And so look at chapter 3 now. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Over in John chapter 1, John mentions that nobody, he says this, verses 12 and 13, you can read that. I won't turn there. But he says that those who are born of God, those who have the right, that have the right to be called sons of God, are those who are born of God. And you think about it. He says, behold here, verse 1, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, sinners, who don't deserve His love and who have not earned His love. All we deserve and have earned is His hatred. Now that's so. We're sinners. The Bible talks about that. The Bible says God hates the workers of iniquity. And Psalm 5. Now, well, if I'm a sinner, how come God doesn't hate me? The workers of iniquity there are all sinners to whom God imputes sin. If you stand before God, charged, having your sins charged by God to you, then all you have to expect is His wrath, His hatred. But as I quoted last week in John 8:33, the Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Why can't God charge my sins to me? Because He charged my sins to Christ. He was made sin. He's charged me with His righteousness. But that's an amazing, amazing fact and glorious truth of God's grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That's what John Newton meant in that song. Behold, what manner of love. Love, God loving His enemies. Even when we were enemies, Christ died for the ungodly, it says. And that we, us sinners, saved by grace, that we should be called the children of God. That's an amazing thing. Chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Not because of anything in us or done by us, but by His sovereign grace and mercy. I'll have mercy upon whom I will. I'll be compassionate to whom I will, He said. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Think about it. Chosen in Him, adopted into His family by grace, justified in His sight by grace, and then redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's grace. Redeemed by His blood on the cross, who died, was buried, and arose again the third day because of my justification. He established the only ground upon which God can save a wretch like me. And that's His blood, His righteousness imputed. And then sent the Spirit to raise me from the dead spiritually. One who had no interest in the truth. Oh, I was religious before I was born again. But I had no interest in the real truths of the Bible. Not the real truth. Just my ideas. But He sent His Spirit to give me life and raise me from the dead. And give me faith, the gift of faith. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Bring me to repentance. And bring me to abide in Christ. Doeth righteousness. Behold, what manner of love. And look at verse 1 of chapter 3 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know, a lot of people operate in their profession, and they'll say things like, well, I don't want to hear a sermon, I want to see a sermon. And what they mean is they want to preach a sermon in their, what they think is godly lives. I've heard preachers say this, they said, you're the only Bible that some people read. Well now, my friend, if that's true, first of all, I cannot preach a sermon, a gospel sermon, with my life, my obedience. Should I be obedient? Yes. I don't want my bad behavior or my lack of dedication to get in the way of my witness. But my witness is not my life. My witness is the gospel. In Matthew 5:16, when it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, you need to understand that the light there is not the good works. The light there is the light of Christ in His truth, in His gospel, that shows our works to be good. You see what I'm saying? A person who is an unbeliever, their works are dead works. But a person who is a believer in Christ, his works are fruit unto God, the work of God within him. But the only way you can know that is by the gospel message, not by looking at me doing something or not doing something. You see, this thing of I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon and all of that. Listen to what the Bible says. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Isn't that right? Listen to the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by what? Looking at people? No. Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Understand that. He told His disciples, blessed are your ears for they hear, and your eyes for they see. But He wasn't talking about looking at people's lives. He's talking about looking at the Word of God. So here He says, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. You know that song that people sing sometimes, let others see Jesus in you? My old pastor used to say it this way. He said, they didn't see Jesus in Jesus. They didn't know Christ. Christ told his disciples in John 15:18, marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hated you. And the disciples, not bigger than his master, not greater than his master. The world by nature, and that includes me by nature, hated the Lord Jesus Christ, the true Lord Jesus Christ, because He exposed my deeds as being evil. John 3:19-20. He told the Pharisees, he told the people of the Pharisees, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll no in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. You got to have a perfect righteousness. And you cannot gain one by your best efforts. And that way, there's none righteous, no, not one. So if we're to find righteousness, where do we go? We look to Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And when we tell people the truth, that by nature they don't believe in, hey, they won't recognize us to be children of God. They'll say all kinds of evil against you. That's what Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when men revile you and criticize you and say all manner of evil against you. They don't know the Father. He said in John 16, he said, they'll throw you out of their synagogues. Think about that. Now, that's talking about the Jewish synagogues, but that's talking about any religious service. But think about that. To go tell an unbelieving Jew that he's not a child of God, that he's not saved, because he rejects Jesus of Nazareth as being the Messiah. They're going to see that as unkind and hateful, just like they said that the Lord. They looked at the Lord's life and they said he was a wine bibber and a gluttonous man. And then they looked at John the Baptist and they said, well, he's got a devil. You can't please them. But look at verse 2, 1 John 3:2. He says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. right now. We don't have to wait for that. We don't have to work our way into that. If we doeth righteousness, that is the evidence now, not the condition, but doing righteousness, abiding in Christ, pleading His righteousness, looking to Him, resting in Him, that's an evidence that we are right now children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, what we're going to be in glory, but we know that when He shall appear, when Christ comes again, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That means we see Him now in the glory of salvation by His grace. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly. We only see partially. We see enough. But when He appears in glory, we'll see Him in all His effulgent glory. Oh, what a sight that'll be. And John said, I can't tell you what that is like now. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. A lot of people ask me, what are we going to be like in heaven? Well, I know the scripture says that we'll have spiritual bodies, a perfect body, no sin, no tears, all of that. But there's a lot I don't know because it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we'll be like Him. We'll be as perfect as Christ in ourselves then, because there'll be no sin. There'll be no sorrow. And He says in verse 3, and every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. What hope? The hope of salvation by grace. The hope of righteousness in Christ. By faith in Him. That's due in righteousness. You want to do righteousness? Look to Jesus Christ. Believe in Him and rest in Him for all righteousness, for all forgiveness, for all eternal life, and for all glory. That's due in righteousness. And anything else, you depend on yourself or anything else, that's not doing right. That's sin. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.